This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And we are back. One line open for you guys. Feel free to get online. We're here till 11 o'clock. And then Dr. Alessi will be in with a healthy round. So he'll give you a second opinion on his on your health advice. He would not have enjoyed that geek confab.
Oh.
He would not have enjoyed that. But he'll be giving you a second opinion on the, on your health advice nonetheless at 11 o'clock. So feel free to get online. Let's go to Rick in Wethersfield first. What's happening, Rick?
Hi. Yeah, it's good to be on the air. You guys, I listen to you a lot on Saturdays.
Thanks for joining us.
I caught the back end of your last conversation there, or maybe it might have been two, and it had to do with I currently have a wireless modem for internet reception, and I have a large L-shaped ranch, and we had a wired connection previous to that with an extender, and I switched to the wireless option. And I'm really not that satisfied with having that one wireless, you know, receptor because it doesn't really broadcast through the whole house.
Right. Yeah. So you're like every other every other person or even company we work with is trying to figure out how to get that wireless coverage. So you got that ranch, the idea would be to maybe put the access point in the corner there of the L, maybe.
Right.
To get the most.
Well, it's pretty close to that now. You mean the wireless receptor?
Yeah, the access point. Yep.
Okay. All right.
And so then you would from there run two wired access points to where you wanted to improve the signal further. So you'd run them up each leg of the L.
You mean two extenders? Like,
not extender. The word extender is a bad. I don't like extenders.
I'm not a fan of them either.
So the problem
I don't know the difference.
I know, and that's why we're here.
We're going to tell you,
right?
Okay. So, thanks, guys.
An extender is going to take the signal. It's going to try to sniff it out and chuck it further, right? That's extending it. It's saying, okay, I'm on the edge of this wireless bubble that's being broadcast from your little corner there, the L. It sniffs it out and says, oh, I see it. I'm going to push it a little further. I'm going to extend it.
I got it.
And it's a little piece of junk sitting there in your plug, right? It was a great thing before, before we all said
it was a solution to a problem at one point.
It's not a good one.
Well, right. But it was an available solution and it worked. It worked in some cases.
Right.
Right.
So the way that we would recommend adding access signal would be to either run wires from your router, your device that's getting the internet in, right, from your provider. Who's your provider?
T-Mobile.
Oh, it's a wireless.
Yeah, he said
he did say it, but I wasn't sure. I just wanted to understand that. So you're going to run from the firewall device that's giving you your cellular signal a hard wire. So you're going to go from wireless back to wired.
Okay.
I know it sounds like kind of weird, right? And you're going to run access points to either point in your house further out of the L.
I guess I'm not familiar with an access point.
An access point is just, if you look up ubiquity access points, but there's other access points out there by all sorts of manufacturers, whether it be Linksys or what do you use, Netgear?
Well, I have a Netgear. TP-Link makes some good ones.
Yeah.
I have a Netgear, an old Netgear, I think is something like that, or the switch, internet, a port switch.
A port switch, yeah. How old is it?
Oh, it's old.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
It's old. Can't remember. Maybe 15 years.
15 years?
What?
Okay, it's old. All right, enough. All right, enough of that. You need
it
a new.
Still.
I know.
All right, that's fine. I get something new. Don't worry. I'm good for it.
Good, good. So get an actual firewall router like a Linksys or a Netgear. If you like Netgear, stick with it. That's fine.
Yeah.
And they'll probably offer companion access points that you can run wired to other areas of your home. So you would run the wire maybe through your basement and then back up. And you can add the access points, you know, you can place them on your wall, you can place them on your ceiling, you can place them on a desk or a counter if you wanted to.
Well, and I got the whole house wired from the past, so that's an easy thing to do.
Oh, good, yeah. And you plug it in, and now they're going to broadcast an additional bubble. So you're going to have three bubbles, the new access point, the new router you're going to buy that also is going to be an access point, and two devices.
I got to buy a new router, right? Not go with the T-Mobile one that I currently have.
The T-Mobile stays.
The T-Mobile is the modem that gets the internet from the outside world into your house.
And then you're going to plug from that device, you're going to plug it into your WAN connection, your wide area network connection of whatever router you're going to buy. That's also going to be an access point. Now, it's going to broadcast a signal. And then, are you saying the T-Mobile device broadcasts a signal?
Yeah.
It might be an integrated box.
It could. So maybe
and you could plug a wire into that.
That's what you ultimately want to do, but you need something that isn't going to take over your network.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't understand that part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right now, if I'm interpreting what you're describing correctly, that T-Mobile modem/access point is the hub of your network. It's handing out IP addresses. And it's also controlling the Wi-Fi network.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, if you just buy another Wi-Fi access point and then connect it up to that, what it's going to do is start giving out its own IP addresses to its own devices.
And
they aren't all going to talk to each other in your house.
And a secondary SSID.
Right. And everything is going to be a big, fat mess.
Right,
multiple networks.
You probably can turn off the Wi-Fi on the T-Mobile.
Correct.
So that you can run your own Wi-Fi network.
Right.
So we like to see the internet source just be an internet source.
Correct.
Okay, so so let me spit it back to you. So that T-Mobile device that I have, I keep it just so that it gets the internet signal from the outside.
Yes.
Or it gets the signal from the outside and it resides just there. But then I'm setting up this other thing called access points.
Yeah, and a router.
And another router.
And a router, your own router.
You can get an access point that is also a router.
Yeah.
And you need that because that router is going to handle wired connections to another sub-access point. And what you'd have to do is buy an arranged package that has a base plus
a couple of access
the couple of access points that are designed to go with it that are called sometimes they're called satellites.
Mm-hmm. And they'll be meshed. They might even be part of a mesh.
And they might refer to it as a mesh system too.
And then you're going to turn off. You should be able to turn off the Wi-Fi side that would get on the T-Mobile device.
And you may have to make sure you turn off the DHCP.
Right.
That's what that is, DHCP.
Well, DHCP is what hands out internet addresses to your devices.
So is that on the mobile ROTM, modem?
On that mobile modem,
I think that's what it's doing now.
So, okay, so I have to figure out that. But I'm plugging the wire into that modem.
You're plugging, out of the T-Mobile device, there should be a way to send out a WAN signal into a router. And if there is, that's what you want to do.
Okay, so, and then disabling that last thing you talked about.
DHCP on the T-Mobile device. DHCP, that IP addressing scheme that T-Mobile is handing out. You want your own router to hand out IP addresses, not the internet service. Because you want to put up a deadbolt in between the internet service and your network, right? Right now, you're right up against
it's
the network.
Just one thing, yeah.
You're kind of naked on the internet, right? You're sitting there saying, hey, it's Rick from Weathersfield, I'm right up against you. So you want to put a firewall, a deadbolt, in between that internet service and your network so that even the folks at T-Mobile can't get to your stuff because they could only get to the firewall. That's why it's called a firewall. It can't get any further than that as long as you deny all. It's a long story, but by default, the firewall will deny all. So that's
so what
you
want to do. Go buy at the store?
You want to go buy a firewall with a couple of mesh pucks that you can run wires to connect. Well, you already have the wires run that you can connect wired, and now you're going to have three devices that are going to broadcast. They're all Rick's SSID. You know, call it whatever you want, and then you're going to turn off the SSID that T-Mobile is broadcasting and just have it accept the cellular signal into your network, into the WAN.
All right, so that's okay, but it's called a firewall router?
Firewall router, and it's going to also be wireless. It's going to look like a crab with antennas sticking out of it. And then you're going to have it
wireless because it's receiving from the other one?
No, you're going to have a hard wire receiving from the other one.
Okay.
You're going to have a little patch cable from the T-Mobile wireless modem into your firewall.
Okay, I got it. And then that's going to be wireless. No?
Exactly. It's the thing that's going to broadcast the network, not T-Mobile.
But through those two other
Two other pucks that are going to come along with it. And you know what? We're going to take a moment during the break here to try to find you an example of what we're talking about.
Okay.
And post it for you.
That's great.
All right. Otherwise, you can call T-Mobile and ask them how they would expand the network. That'd be the other option, but you wouldn't have a firewall. You'd be right up against them.
Right. Okay, no, that sounds good. So I need to go get those. What are those other things called again that actually send the signal out that extend?
They'd be called a wireless access point. If we can find you a solution that offers that for you, we're going to try to post it. And most likely Mike G already has found one if I know him.
He has.
Yeah, he's good. We already have an answer for you, Rick. All right?
Do I hold on or do I?
No, it's going to be posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. We know technology. We can multitask here.
All right. I'll find my way there.
All right, sir.
All right.
Good luck.
Take care. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. He's got something to do. I'm excited for him. We'll be right back. And we are back. The issue with Rick's call, of course, is it can be confusing. And he has he's getting wireless cellular, which adds even a little level of confusion, too.
Well, what he's looking for is kind of very specific.
Yeah.
He's looking for a combination of a wireless base plus one or two satellites. And we're having trouble finding one that does all of that in a way that will work for him because he needs that extra wired connection to connect up the satellite.
And I think I found him with the Max stream through Linksys. I'm not sure if they're hardwired or only wireless, but I think I found it. But we'll see. I'll show you guys on our Slack channel. All right, let's go on to some calls here. We're going to go to John in Farmington next. Hey, what's cooking, John?
Hi.
Hey.
I have probably a much simpler question for you. I have Frontier for internet.
Okay.
And they recently have been upgrading to fiber optic technology and want me to convert to whatever they're offering.
Yeah.
Just wondering what your opinion is about that.
Well,
I'm happy with what I've got. I don't do any gaming. I'm really just checking internet and surfing.
You have DSL then, John, right? Most likely. I think you do. I think you probably have DSL. I don't think Frontier offers anything other than DSL.
No, that's it.
I went from AT&T to Frontier years ago.
So you have DSL. It's called Digital Subscriber Line, and it's a copper. It's an old-style copper modem-y flavory tech kind of internet service. It's very old, and right now Frontier is giving you an option to go to fiber. Fiber, we would recommend, is the way to go.
Yes.
It's a future-proof, quote-unquote, way to go for internet. So right now, you know, you don't need a lot of bandwidth, but someday you may need it for all sorts of reasons. And fiber technically offers unlimited bandwidth. And as long as the price is right, I think eventually they're going to tell you, well, John, we're turning off all the copper. And if you want internet, you're going to have to choose us. So That's the issue. You can also you should shop around though, John, and see what other services are in your area. Again, like GoNetspeed, which is a competing fiber service, and then you've got your cable company. So at least get pricing from all, so that you at least can compare the services that are being offered.
Gotcha. Okay.
But fiber is going to be the way of the future.
Right, and just as secure and safe and.
Well, who told you anything you had now is secure and safe?
Right.
It's not.
You guys certainly didn't.
No, we did not. So, no, there's no benefit there as far as that. Basically, when you get connected faster, you can be hacked faster, right? High-speed hacking. You could even contend that your internet connection is so slow, the hacker may not bother with you. But it doesn't work that way these days. They're not after that. They're after your internet services. They're after encrypting your system, pay for ransom, and they can do that at any speed. So I'll think of it as a nice brand new highway. You know how they've been paving 84 for the past, you know, 3 or 4 years now?
Yeah.
When that, or 691, when that final pave goes down, that's going to be like what it's going to be for you when you get fiber internet.
Right. Okay.
All right. You may not even notice it because you're not really using it that much, like you said.
Right. Right.
So.
Okay. Thanks.
All right,
appreciate
John.
Your information. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for checking in.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, safer. Safer. What's safe on the internet? Nothing is safe on the internet. Let's move on to Nick in Enfield. What's cooking, Nick?
Hello. Actually, I called about a printer problem, but I was following that story about Frontier. I got a letter from them that said that they're going to decommission the old copper wire.
Yeah.
So... and it's going to be costly if we want service, have it serviced.
Right.
So the writing's on the wall.
Oh, so the other shoe has dropped.
Yeah. And I live in Enfield, but it happens GoNetspeed hasn't come to this neighborhood.
No, ask them to.
Sign up.
I have.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah, I did it online. I have an HP Envy Photo 7858. Printer that I don't even print every week, but when I do print, part of what I want printed is left blank. Is it because I'm not using it, or do you think there's an issue with the printer itself?
Well, it would be with the printer itself. I mean, because if it prints anything, then yes. It means it's getting the print job from your computer. So whatever is going wrong is inside the printer. I would say you might have either a mechanical problem inside the printer, or it's possible that one of your inkjet nozzles is probably dried up or something like that.
Yeah, something clogged.
Yeah.
So you have to run the cleaning routine, which of course will chew through a lot of your ink.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can try to see if there's any kind of way to wipe the print head, but you got to be careful with that because you can cause issues.
Oh, yeah. I've done that once.
Yeah.
Never again.
Because you make use like an alcohol, like piece of alcohol paper there and kind of wipe it a little bit like a swab. So how old is it, Chris? I mean, Nick.
2 years old.
Only two? Ooh,
yeah.
That's too bad. Well, there's definitely a cleaning routine then. You should probably run the cleaning routine and the maintenance routine on it to see if it fixes it. It probably will if it's only 2 years old or it's gotten gummed up and clogged. And you may have to bring it to somebody to fix it, but it probably didn't cost you that much, right?
Yeah, it I think it was under a couple $100s.
Yeah, they really make all their money on the ink. So it wouldn't be worth repairing. If you like inkjet, though, there's the EcoSmart by Epson that does a better job with ink. And you can print them and let them sit for a long time. They don't seem to gum up the way the inkjets did.
Okay.
So if they run the maintenance routine on it, do you know how to do that?
No.
Well, we can get a troubleshooting page up or the cleaning page.
Yeah, the Envy 50. You said 7858?
7858, yes.
Yeah, we'll find the HP Envy 7858 maintenance information and we'll put it out there for you over at Computer Talk.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I enjoy the show.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So, inkjets. I like laser. I mean, I just have, there's almost no issues.
Yeah, I haven't had an inkjet for over 10 years now, and I can't say that I've ever looked back.
No, the laser jet's expensive too, but they seem to last a long time. All right, Chris is back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Guy that dropped on us. Hey, Chris.
We had a little issue. I know we're up against it, so I will cut to the chase.
Yeah.
I changed the name on the printer.
Yep.
And I can now see it from my computer.
Ooh.
My wife's laptop connected immediately, but I now go to connect it, and I get a window, enter the WPS pin for your printer. When I enter it, it times out.
Okay.
All right. So it's using WPS to connect.
Right. But you don't have to.
Right. You don't need to do that.
Yes. So why did it default to that? I didn't change the famous last words. I didn't change anything that I'm aware of.
Why? Okay. At some point in the connection process, it had to have asked you how you're connecting. And it might have asked you for a network key or password. And if you skip that, it may go on to the WPS process. I'm not exactly sure. I don't know why it chose to just use WPS.
And you can also just try to add a network printer and try it the old-fashioned way by IP address. So if you know the IP address of your printer, and you can put that in and say, hey, here's my IP address, it might link up that way for you, Chris.
Okay.
Printing shouldn't be this hard, huh?
Yeah.
No, it should not be this hard, especially considering it's worked for a year.
Yes, but it probably got a new IP address on a reboot on you, and that's a whole other show.
Yeah, that's another problem.
Yeah. So we're running out of time, Chris. I'm sorry.
I'm sure.
All right.
Okay. Hey, thanks, guys.
Yep. I want to thank all you guys for calling in. I want to thank Carolyn for producing. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live.
Remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
See you next Saturday.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Helnan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problem, comments, questions, and concerns. Yes, Tab is a 100% employee-owned company. I know only the five baristas at Starbucks who became unionized makes the news, but we are 100% employee-owned, and it's just crickets. Nobody cares that all the employees own the company, but five baristas at a Starbucks, oh my goodness, it's on the news for a week. Maybe I'm just a little cranky about that, but we're pretty proud of it if the news doesn't care. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And you guys are all online here, so let's go right. Do you have anything we have to finish up with anybody? No, we have no housekeeping, right? We got everybody's answers.
We had that Wi-Fi printer.
Yeah, he dropped off, but hopefully he was listening. All right. I don't know what happened there. Maybe he rebooted his firewall and his boop.
I don't know.
Let's go on to your calls. Paul and Enfield first. What's happening, Paul?
I have DSL right now. And,
oh, I'm so sorry.
I have an old modem, and I think the brand is Siemens, and it's been giving me a little bit of trouble here and there, and I'm just wondering if I go out and go to the store and buy like a Motorola modem and hook it up, will the computer recognize the modem and still allow the service?
Well, the answer is if the DSL modem you're purchasing.
If the DSL modem is compatible with the service that you've got, yes.
Okay, it's got to be compatible. Okay.
Yeah, it has to be compatible. Now, Paul, have you checked whether services are out there? I even think GoNetSpeed is in Enfield, aren't they?
I haven't checked them yet, no.
Well, you got to check. So before even spending $50 on a DSL modem.
Yeah, I would investigate GoNetSpeed.
Yeah.
I would even make calls. I think they have Comcast out there.
Yeah. I think it's Cox.
Or Cox. Yeah. All right.
Check
Cox.
To see what the other alternatives are.
See what
are.
Their pricing is and what they're offering.
What's your monthly price for internet, Paul?
Well, it's a combination internet and phone, so it's about just over $100.
Yikes. Wow.
Oh, I'm fairly sure that even Cox
Can beat
is
that.
Probably going to beat that price.
Right.
Yeah, and you could always change your phone to UMA, a voice over IP service, where which your phone number would be now free. And all you're going to be paying for is the federal and state and the War of 1812 taxes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Good luck, Paul.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. So, you got to make sure when you go and buy those modems, you know, whether it be a Cox, Comcast, DSL modem, that it is compatible with your internet provider's service.
Right. Now, at least I think if you go on certain websites, possibly
they'll give you a
Best
list,
Buy.
Right?
There is kind of a compatibility wizard that might hone in on what you can get.
And then, of course, the next step is once you get it, you got to call the provider, give them the MAC address on the modem to say, hey, this is me. I'm changing out my old junky modem, putting a new one in.
And in the case of the DSL, he's going to have to make sure he has the proper credentials in there to create the connection.
$100 a month. And he's probably getting, if he's lucky, 5 megabits of internet speed. If he's lucky. And plus the phone line. For $100 a month.
I feel that pain.
Yeah, Go NetSpeed, I think their services, you know, for 500 megabits is like in the $39 range.
Right.
Not that you necessarily need that much bandwidth. We've covered all that, but just to give you a comparison. Let's go to Stefan. Oh, see how he's doing there in New Britain. Hey, Stefan.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning. How are you? Good, good.
All right. I want to remove Xfinity from my life. I want to start streaming. My friends are throwing words around like Neanderthal. Other ones are asking me how big of a rock did I live under. I think think it's time.
Yes. They just because they care, Stefan.
Well, yeah. Yeah. If the snickering would go away, cutting the cord would help.
So just so you guys know, and I think I'm right about this, but I think Hard-Hitting New Britain did sign an agreement to do municipal cable with Go NetSpeed.
Right.
So is it close to you?
I live by the mall. I live at the junction of like Farmington, West Hartford, and Britain.
Yep, I have an idea where you live. Yep,
by Costco there. Yep. Everybody knows where Costco is. Yep. Just look for the traffic jam.
Yep, yep.
So, anyways, I have 100 megabits per second.
Yep.
That they're leaving us with. They wanted to push me up more than that, and after listening to you for years, I don't need that kind of speed now, do I?
You do not.
Okay, so 100 megabits is as slow as I can go.
That's fine.
So right now, we're just using a Netgear thing for internet.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if I'm going to have to upgrade my
Netgear?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
So it should work?
Yeah, it should work.
Okay, because we'll only be running two televisions max.
Okay, here's the thing.
At the same time.
So find out if you're within range of Go NetSpeed. And if you can get on, you're going to love that.
I think there's an income thing with that, isn't there?
I have no idea what kind of deal the municipal cable came up with. It possibly could be because it's kind of municipal internet, so you might have a savings for that if you have an income scenario. That could be true, but I don't know.
Because I did have to sell two of the kids and the horse just to pay the
Yeah, it's probably like a luxury car payment, right, Stefan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually is. I'd be driving a nice new Lexus if I didn't have this.
Right.
Anyway, so Go NetSpeed.
Yep.
Now, they're leaving us, let's, for the sake of argument, let's say that I am slightly above the Go NetSpeed income level, because I remember going to the city of New Britain and basically the 5G service or something. Is that it?
No, that would... 5G would be a cellular service.
Oh, okay. All right. So they were saying discount computer service, and there's like an income cap.
Hmm.
But I will investigate that with New Britain now. So I'm good with this.
Yep.
All I need is televisions that can receive.
Yeah, nothing's going to change.
You know, Zumo, Pluto, whatever. If you want to go with Amazon, you need a Fire Stick. Yes, no, what?
Yes.
Yes.
Or a smart TV.
Or a smart TV with Amazon Logic in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My housemate has her, she has a smart TV.
All right, good.
So I just need to get a smart TV if I want to enjoy that.
Or a Roku.
Oh, that's what she has. She has a Roku.
Yeah, or a Fire Stick.
Yeah, the Roku will serve you well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because now you can select like the channels you want from the services that you're buying, because with Xfinity, I get about 998 channels that I don't watch.
Right. So you're going to have to pick a service.
I watch three channels.
I hear you.
And that's about it.
I know. So just so you know, there's still nothing on TV when you stream it to like YouTube TV. They're all the same. There's nothing on TV. But you can go ahead and pick the service you want. So Sling is the one that comes to mind because it has these smaller packages where you can pick less options, right? You can pick different types of channels.
Yeah,
you might
Sling Sling, at least at one time, they had like three grades.
Yeah, different color coded.
And they were color coded. I don't remember what the colors were.
But you can't pay one channel at a time. That's
right.
Not going to
happen. Yeah, they don't. Nobody lets you do that.
No.
Oh, okay. Because I wanted to get like the outdoor channel or something.
Well, yeah.
Like that,
you can buy Nessun for $30 a month. Just Nessun.
Wow.
They're crazy. And no, I don't know what they're smoking, but I will not pay that for
right.
Nessun.
Right.
Well,
that's
I'd
their
like
own
some of that
because
I'd like
service.
To be that delusional on the weekend.
I hear you.
But anyway, okay, so I can't just like pick, like I know you can stream the Motor Trend app on your phone.
Sure. Yep. That can still happen even on your Roku. You can most likely you'll be able to download it and or Chromecast it, right? Do you know what Chromecasting is?
If it has anything to do with Chrome, I'm not a big fan, but okay, go ahead.
Chromecasting would allow, if that app is castable, you'd have a device hanging off of your maybe a secondary HDMI port on your TV, and you can cast what you see on your phone to the big TV if it's castable.
Oh.
There's lots of things you're missing out, Stefan. Your friends are trying to help you. I'm surprised you've listened to the show so long and you're still there. You're still where you are.
Well, yeah, but it's just, I have so many things to do on the weekend that, you know, this is kind of like down on the list. But after getting that bill every month and it keeps going up and up and up and I keep getting less and less and less.
Yep. You're going to make a change.
I think it's time for that. Okay. So, Chromecasting.
Yeah, check out Chrome. Chromecast is like a $30 item.
Yeah.
A Roku might cost you like 40
per month?
No, one time.
One time.
Oh, it's a one-time $30.
It's a piece of hardware. You bought it. It's yours.
Oh.
It's a Target.
So,
it's a Target for your phone.
You guys should tell Nessun about that.
Nessun, it doesn't help.
It doesn't help because in order to get the Nessun, you've got to add the channel to your device. And in order for it to work, you got to pay for it. Yeah. And it's a fortune.
Yeah.
Nessun, are they the bastard child of ESPN?
No. They're their own ESPN.
Okay.
They're Boston's ESPN.
So that's another charge that I'm just not going to use.
Right.
All right. So
all right.
That's what to do.
Yeah, Stefan.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
And
let us know what happens.
Yeah, I might even get a couple of the kids back.
All right, man. Yeah. Take it easy, Stefan.
Yep. Bye-bye.
All right. He's got some things to do now. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get to your calls. Ken in Weathersfield, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Let's get right to your calls. Three lines open for you on this Saturday morning. You're all waking up, which is great. 860-522-9842. I don't know about you, Dennis, but falling back this time.
It was my
52nd time doing it. And I think I did really well this time. I enjoyed it. I slept. I actually got the extra hour. You know the hour they promise? You get an extra hour. And, of course, you always wake up early and you're like, I didn't get any extra hour. I actually slept it. I actually earned the hour. First time in my life.
I did, too.
Did you?
I did, too. It was very nice.
I literally woke up and said, I got the hour.
It's very nice.
I never get that hour. All right. Let's go to Ken in Weathersfield first. What's happening, Ken?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, thanks for
I just had a question about a mesh Wi-Fi system versus, say, a regular, single router system.
Yeah.
Now, with the mesh setup, if it's a two-piece or, say, a three-piece, do you still get the same speed from, say, like the second piece if you are, connected to that, or the third one versus, say, the first one, or like you would in a single unit setup?
Well, so there's a bit of a fallacy even in the single unit setup if you don't have the right type of MIMO or even antenna. So I always joke about my router having like looking like a crab. It's got like eight antennas.
Okay? Yeah, you have that big Belkin thing, right?
No, big Linksys thing.
Or Linksys.
Yeah, it's got eight antennas. So the idea there, every device may get access to its own antenna and get more of a prioritized traffic because it's time slicing. It's sharing the bandwidth. And the older the router, the poorer it is at doing it. And the MIMO has to do with how it prioritizes older devices at a lower level versus the newer ones. If you're a more capable device, these systems will actually give you the performance. Whereas in the old days, believe it or not, it would be the lowest common denominator
right.
that would control the performance of your access point.
The slowest device on the entire Wi-Fi network is how fast the
All
entire network
work.
Worked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
So the mesh then, if you then look at mesh just gives you the ability for you to move within your network, within your home, and not have to worry about losing the SSID in general. The mesh devices have to see the primary, or you can run actual devices out.
They can relay from one to the next. And the question that I was going to ask is, are you going to be doing that where you have your main base at one end of the house and then have mesh devices through the length of it
that are hopping
from one to the other? Because that is the arrangement that will kill your speed at the far end.
Okay, because I have one now, you know, that's basically, it's a like a three-level house with a basement, finished basement.
Yep.
So the unit now is upstairs, and it kind of centrally located upstairs. And actually, even on the first floor and off to one side, my computer actually in my office is wireless. And I do, even on that wireless, I still do get the max speed
that I'm
actually paying for. I will get 300 on the down.
Good.
Even a little over on that Wi-Fi setup, you know. But as you go towards, say, the basement, and maybe more towards a corner, or maybe out towards the garage, the signal is. I never speed checked it, but I don't. You know, I can see the signal dropped, but you know, you don't have all three signal indicators lit up. So I know the signal dropped, and I would assume that the speed is dropping as well. But I didn't know if you had a maybe a mesh system where the main unit was upstairs, like I just said, where mine is, and then maybe you had one on the second level again in the middle, and on the third, would you retain that, say 300 or 500 on the down, on all levels?
Yeah, the answer is going to be maybe. Wi-Fi is not perfect, and it's got to go through all your equipment. So if you can configure a mesh network where each of the access points is hardwired back to the network, that's the perfect. You'll always get the best performance there. You're not hopping. It's not hoping on the – not trying to find the other device broadcasting. It's got its own ability to broadcast, and then you just walk within the bubbles. So if you look – if you go to like a museum or what have you, they're going to have access points that are hardwired back so that they are producing their own bubble, but with the same SSID, and the devices are smart enough to hand off to your device that IP address. So it says, oh, okay, I see Ken's going from this modern display of art over to this avant-garde, whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about. And it just knows it's going to hand off your IP address, and you're going to get that performance. So you have both ways to do it, Ken. I would say in a typical home, a wireless mesh puck type of thing would work probably pretty well, and it'll improve that performance. And you may not get all 300 megabits, but you get enough for what you're doing. I mean, you're not launching a space shuttle. You're probably just watching TV, right?
Right. So do you think it would be – it could be an improvement with a mesh, or maybe not. Maybe it's better to maybe move the other unit since the other mesh units would not be hardwired.
Right. I would tell you to make your wireless router one of the most important devices in your home, as important as your coffee pot. So it should be literally – have a light shining on it, you know, just here's your access point and right in the middle of your home. And that's where you're going to get the best performance if you can find a central first layer approach.
Not even think about the mesh setup.
Well, you could add it, but see how that works without doing it if you want. You know,
okay.
I don't have a mesh in my network, and my kids
don't
like some latency that occurs when they come home from college and they want a game. So I've got a kid who literally will run a 50-foot cable down the hallway. And it's like, I'm not going to bother.
Hardwired in.
He wants to be hardwired to reduce the latency.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And I just can't get through that it's not that necessary. But I'm not the guy losing the game. So it's up to you, Ken. If you don't have kids and dealing with that, you should be good.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a break here for the news. Four lines wide open again. We're happy to serve you. 860-522-9842 is the number. Feel free to get online. We'll be right back.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five.
Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.